You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Restoring whole milk in school meals matters because it strengthens child nutrition choices while adding steady demand for U.S. dairy products, anchoring many rural economies. President Donald Trump said that, signing the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act on Wednesday, formally allowing schools to offer whole milk again under federal nutrition programs. Now, the law aligns school meals with the newly released Dietary Guidelines for Americans, which reintroduced full-fat dairy as part of a healthy dietary pattern. Supporters say the change reflects updated nutrition science in response to concerns that prior low-fat restrictions reduced milk consumption among students. Now, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins said the policy supports both families and dairy producers, noting that whole milk provides nutrient density while reinforcing domestic dairy markets. Rollins also highlighted broader administration efforts aimed at stabilizing farm income and improving food affordability, pointing to recent declines in retail dairy prices. Bipartisan legislation received support from lawmakers on both the House and Senate Ag Committees, and USDA already issuing implementation guidance to school nutrition officials. They'll move forward with revisions to child nutrition program rules. U.S. ethanol production surged to a record high in early January, signaling strong operational momentum, even as fuel demand and inventories remain seasonally mixed. Now, according to the Energy Information Administration, ethanol output jumped 8.9% for the week that ended January 9th, climbing to 1.2 million barrels per day, highest weekly level on record. Production 9.2% above the same week last year, nearly 14% above the three-year average. It reflects aggressive run rates across much of the industry. Four-week average production rate also moving higher. Now, ethanol stocks increased 3.5% to 24.5 million barrels, though inventories remain slightly below both year-ago levels and the three-year average. Stock builds occurred in most regions, with the Midwest the only area where inventories declined. U.S. farm equipment sales weakening further at the end of the year, underscoring ongoing caution among producers as margins remain tight and replacement cycles are extended. New data from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers showed December tractor and combine sales declined year over year, reflecting restrained capital spending across much of the farm economy. U.S. sales of ag tractors down 14.8% during the month compared with the same month in 2024. Combine sales declined 4.3%. Pullback broad-based across horsepower categories. Sales of tractors under 40 horsepower dropped nearly 19%. Mid-range tractors down 5%. And the big ones above 100 horsepower down 18%. Four-wheel drive tractor sales posted the steepest decline, down 31% from a year earlier. And Canadian markets showing a mixed picture. Tractor sales falling year over year. However, Canadian combine sales increased. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Of course, the United States is still the world's largest corn producer. We're the largest corn user. We're the largest corn exporter. You know, we're still the gorilla in the room when it comes to corn.
Dr. Mark Welch, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Grain Marketing Economist.
And so when we look at USDA numbers and domestic, you know, production levels and practices, and that's the primary driver for the corn market. Now, the other production areas matter, and they matter a lot, especially if you think of South America. But the U.S. is still the main driver.
What's the potential for 2026?
I think we are in a time of year that typically we would be leaning into maybe some better pricing prospects for our spring planted crops as you move from the harvest lows. You know, kind of got those behind us. This last year, we set them a little bit early. They actually put them in August instead of September and October when it comes to the corn market. And we start some of an upward trajectory in price for the next marketing year based on, the final supply numbers from the previous year's crop. Are those going to get, that crop going to get bigger, smaller based on final yield estimates and projections? And then for corn in particular for 2026, I think the discussion is going to turn very, very quickly. Once we get the final size of last year's crop kind of settled, let the dust settle around that question, how much corn are we going to plant next year? You know, in 2025, we had a huge increase in corn acres. If you, again, think about in the Midwest and the Corn Belt, where most of our corn comes from and really sets the price and direction for corn, you know, it's basically that switchback for corn and soybeans. So if it was corn this year, it'll be beans next year and vice versa. And so you would expect to see that pendulum, you know, swinging back, maybe favoring, more soybean acres just because we got away from so many last year. The price relationship, as you just mentioned, you know, corn relative to soybeans, is if you plug those prices into a budget, say, out of the University of Illinois, you know, soybeans may look a little more profitable for 2026 as well. So will that influence some of the acre swing back the other way? So my full intent or expectation is that we will see a reduction in corn acres for 2026. You know, and then the question becomes, well, then how much? And if you leave some of those other demand categories unchanged, that how much question is very, very important. Do we pull back to 95 million acres, 94, 93, 92? And just a couple of million acres makes a huge difference in what my price projection is going to be for 2026. If we're going to see a reduction in how big that crop is going to be, it matters a lot of that acreage projection. So we'll get into February with the USDA Outlook Conference. We'll have a farmer survey of prospective plantings that will come out at the end of March. I think these are going to be the market will be very sensitive to the information that's presented at the Outlook Conference, at the prospective planting report, private industry estimates of acreage. I think it's going to be very important if we continue a trajectory maybe for some better pricing opportunities heading into the spring, or like we did in the last last year, we set the marketing year high in February. But there's a lot of other stuff going on in February, too, with tariff impositions and trade disruptions. So it's lots of factors out there. But I do think just with that acreage shift, it's going to create some dynamics for us in corn that could be more friendly. Especially in the late winter and as we head into the spring planting season until we get a bit better handle on corn acres for 2026.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this, tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Our history is in the soil.
Aubrey Betancourt is the chief of USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS.
Responding to soil health matters because of the Dust Bowl and the desperate need to invest in our farmers' best practices on the landscape based on their own unique soil types, their own unique needs and desires. And, you know, in terms of are we seeing increased demand, and when I go out and I talk to producers, it's absolutely true. We are at an era, I think, where we are responding to another existential crisis. I've actually commonly talked about our tenure here is a recommitment to our foundation and a recommitment to our core values at NRCS, because we are losing 2,000 acres of prime farmland a day in the United States. I'm going to pause there. And 5,000 acres of farmland total. I'm just talking prime at 2,000, 5,000 a day on average total. And we're losing it, at an alarming rate, which means the land that we have, we must prioritize and value and keep our farmers on that landscape, farming to the best of their ability and taking care of those resources to the best possible ability that they can. And so we are in this recommitment to kind of this foundational aspect of who we are at NRCS. The increased demand I'm seeing is unreal, and it's for all the things that we've heard here today. And I love that we've talked about, you know, even on my farm, I about left because my dad was, we're planting almonds again. And I looked out and I went, hey, is that compost? And he goes, yeah. And I said, since when? And, you know, old dogs can learn new tricks, as we say, and it works. And I think it comes back to a couple things. It's the decision making. It's the data, exactly like what we've heard. We are in an era where better decisions can be made with better data. And we have that at our fingertips in a way that we've never had before. And so you'll hear me talk a lot about a prioritization around precision agriculture, because that arms the farmer with that information to be able to make those better decisions, whether we're talking about soil health, water retention, et cetera. And if you want proof of where this demand is, we're seeing it at NRCS. We just got a hot off the presses. Our web soil survey and our soil data access center is accessed over 12,000 times a day in 2025. Wow. We saw an increase of access to the soil data access center by over 70 million users in 2025, and a million new users on another platform adjacent to that. So we're seeing this increased demand, which is coming back to kind of the basics again, in a lot of ways. I think the other part to that isn't just the decision making. It's not just this information is now available in new ways and more accessible and higher, but the market access piece to this, I think Donnie mentioned it earlier, market access piece to this is really critical. And I know I see that in my own operation. Our ability to then use that data to take it to the marketplace is huge for us. That's opportunity for us. So there's a market pull, I think, in that aspect. That's something that I'm particularly interested in, that the administration is particularly interested in, because we want to make sure that the farmer is getting credit for that work and getting credit for that in the marketplace. And so we want to make sure they are armed with that information to be able to take that into that space. And if you're, you know, if you're a farmer out west like me, we actually really value that data and information and want to receive credit for the voluntary work that we are doing and making this investment to change our culture and change our practices from a regulatory perspective. That is huge for us out west, particularly where we are under increasing pressures from that aspect as well. So I think you're seeing a lot of forces driving this. You're seeing this raise of consciousness, new generations coming into this, and again, technology coming into place here. But what I find as a historian so wonderful is this is really a return to our core function at NRCS and to our core mission at NRCS.
It's agriculture today.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Should I sign it?
Yes, sir.
The last chance I could. We could go another 15 years. Huh?
Let's do it.
Do it?
You go stand right there.
Come on, right over here.
Jesse, come on.
We have to do a good one here. This is right?
Yes, sir.
This
yes,
is
sir.
An important one for me.
At a White House event on Wednesday, President Donald Trump signing the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act. It allows schools to offer whole milk again under federal nutrition okay. Not programs.
Bad. Not bad.
Ag Secretary Burke Rollins said the policy supports both families and dairy producers, noting whole milk provides nutrient density while reinforcing domestic dairy markets.
As it currently stands, schools participating in the National School Lunch Program are only able to offer students low or non-fat milk options. That was changed during the Obama administration. A lot of people disagreed with it at the time. With this legislation, schools will finally be able to expand their offerings to include nutritious whole milk. It's actually a legal definition, whole milk. And it's whole with a W for those of you that have a problem. Most of the media will get that. This is the perfect follow-up to the new real food pyramid. And Secretary Kennedy and Secretary Rollins announced that last week. You probably heard. This legislation also allows parents to directly request a substitute for milk for children with dairy intolerance. Previously, parents were required to submit a written statement from a doctor, but we're eliminating that rather ridiculous policy, allowing parents to choose what is best for their child, which is a big move. Hard to believe that that would be a big thing, but it is. And of course, these changes will be major victories for the American dairy farmers, who we love and who voted for me in great numbers, I will say. I think I got every one of them. In December, I also signed the Secure Rural Schools Reauthorization Act. And I'm proud to say that these two pieces of legislation will give school-age children across the country the resources and support that they need, not just to succeed, but really to thrive in life and later on in life.
Trump, surrounded by dairy producers and Republican lawmakers, also Vermont Senator Peter Welch, a Democrat.
Our dairy farmers are so vitally important, and they have a way of life that transmits from one generation to another, and it's tougher than ever for our dairy farmers in Vermont. Our dairy farmers in Pennsylvania and others, South Carolina, are here. But they're the lifeblood of the community. Nobody works harder, and nobody does things that are better for nutrition. And also for our kids, I'm in agreement. The kids having access to healthy milk is really good milk. Whole milk is really good for them. And one of the things that I get very excited about, that really the Vermont farmers talked about, is they have their milk from their farm that then goes directly to many of our schools. And then kids come out to the farms and start seeing how milk is made, what farming is about. That's good for America. It's not a party deal. This has been a bipartisan effort. I appreciate working with my colleague, Senator Marshall, who did a great job, and JT when I was in the House. And Tim, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. It's got to be like a 90-10 issue, another one of those 90-10. It's good to have you on our side. But it's a great issue, and it's a great thing to do, and we're very proud of it. We're very proud of our farmers.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
If you look at the calendar, there's practically wheat being harvested somewhere in the world almost every month of the year. You know, it's just that kind of a production system, truly, globally. Each aspect of those two crops, brings its own elements within, watching markets and price influences and projections that are kind of unique scenarios, even though as we, think about our on our own farm, that, the kind of corn out there together, but there's certainly different factors come to play depending on the commodity we're talking about.
Texas A&M AgriLife Extension grain marketing economist, Dr. Mark Welch. And what about days of use with corn?
The number I like to use, Tony, and obviously can relate to it a little bit better. It's exactly what you said. It's a stocks to use ratio. And we normally talk about that as a percentage of the percentage of the crop that we have in storage that we're carrying over when one marketing year to the next relative to the total amount of use in the marketing year. And the projection I like to use, or the number, the measure I like to use for that market-sensitive piece of information is days of use on hand at the end of the marketing year. And exactly what you said, how long can we live next year on the crop that was left over from last year? The current estimates for the U.S. corn crop is we're carrying over, somewhere between, 45, 46, 47 days of use. That's not a huge carryover, but it's enough. It's comfortable. It's certainly, you get up to a 50-day carryover. That's pretty market depressing. When you drop that carryover in corn to 40 and below, then the market gets kind of nervous. If we're likely to see $5 corn, it tends to be in those conditions in which that carryover, that days of use on hand, drops below 40. And that's why that acreage estimate is so important right now for our projection for 2026. We plant 92 million acres of corn, and our use estimates kind of stay where they are right now. We're crowding that 40-day carryover with a normal yield. Of course, weather will have a lot to say about that. If we plant 95 million acres, now we can push that carryover back up to 50. So, again, which way we shift that days of use on hand is a critical to move the market needle. I think that's a very, very important number. And it's particularly important for corn because, again, the U.S. corn crop and that carryover level for U.S. corn drives the global market much more than it does, say, for wheat. But I do want to add one more comment about that. We use that same number globally. You don't have maybe those strong metrics like a 40-day for the global days of use on hand. But if you look at what's happening in the corn market, we've had record levels of corn production, and 2025 is a great example. Record U.S. corn crop, record world foreign corn production, just a big crop everywhere. And that's had some price depressing effects. But if you look at that world days of use on hand, it's still going down. So even in the face of record production, both domestically and foreign corn production, consumption of corn is still outpacing production at these record high levels, which then highlights to me if we do have a weather scare, a supply disruption or concern of any kind from a major producing area, I think these markets could be very sensitive and respond very quickly and with some degree of volatility to that, in that with these big crops, we're still not keeping up with the growth in consumption globally. So I think that's an undercurrent of these markets that, again, may give us some price support until we get more settled of just what 2026 is going to look like, both in the U.S. and around the world.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today, purplewave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
The Farm Bridge Assistance is a recent program that was announced by Secretary Rollins and USDA.
Cody Besant is CEO of Plains Cotton Growers.
Here is around $12 billion of assistance for the agricultural industry, $11 billion, which is secluded to the row crop industry. Each individual commodity got their specific rate based on the evaluation through economic research service data on the value of inputs versus price received on a producer-based level. Cotton is certainly one of the top recipients of rates, which we're extremely appreciative of that, just given the overall financial constraints that we've seen in the industry the last year. So from a timeline standpoint, hopefully applications will be rolled out. They will be pre-filled by the end of February, where producers or those that have risk involved in the actual production of the crop, we'll see those applications, be able to verify that things are correct, and then be able to turn those back into USDA Farm Service Agency, and then be able to receive the much needed assistance in regard to that program. So we're excited about that. A lot of our financial institutions, we're certainly looking toward that as people are starting to look at refinancing. So it's something they can look at from a cash flow or putting into a loan portfolio standpoint to help folks be able to go to another year. And that was the sole purpose of the program, was to help people be able to go into another season obtain refinancing. It was never to make someone whole or pay out. There's some misnomers on that. But it was never meant to do that. And certainly it's the way it was designed. It's functioning the way as needs to be. That being said, you've got still some lingering implementation on the supplemental disaster program. It's got two different stages, stage one, stage two. Stage one has pretty well been fully implemented. There's a lot of discussions and people onboarding on stage two, which deals mainly with quality loss and shallow loss initiatives. All those applications will be finalized and finished out by the end of April. Once they are finalized, USDA will do another reevaluation of that program itself. And if there's any remaining funds, then they can potentially go back and provide some additional support on the submitted applications. And then lastly, one thing that's not really showcased, but certainly is needed to be highlighted for the work that the industry is as a whole, the ag industry as a whole has done for relative to the last 3 or 4 years, and working in tandem with House Ag Committee and Senate Ag Committee and the administration, is building out an enhancement to farm bill policies. So increasing in a reference price for Title I, increasing in a marketing assistance loan, making enhancements to crop insurance tools that people can use from a risk management standpoint. That legislation was enacted back on July 4th, once signed by the president. And now with the new enhancements, people will realize some of those new enhancements from a financial assistance as needed coming into the fall of 2026. So there's a lot of unique moving parts. Combine that together, it certainly provides some meaningful assistance. Is there some more work to be done? Absolutely. There's already some discussions and ground game being taken place for that. But ultimately, we're just extremely thankful for the tool that we have implemented and in place today, and we'll continue to hit the ground running and make sure that other tools are built out to provide some meaningful assistance as necessary to the industry alike, be it producers and downstream infrastructure as well.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.